ABC Radio Australia.
To rugby now, where Fiji's fortunes tell two very different tales, depending on your preferred code of football. Fiji narrowly missed out on the World Rugby Sevens League title a fortnight ago, but are well-placed ahead of the Championship Series, which will commence in Hong Kong next month. In the Super Rugby, meanwhile, the outlook isn't quite as sunny, with the Endura sitting ninth on the competition table after six rounds. Now, to unpack it all, because it's been a little bit of a while since we've talked some footy, we're joined by Carlton Kamea, the publisher of the online rugby magazine Tiavovo, who is on the line from Suva. Carlton, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Kyle.
Not a problem at all. Now, let's start with the Sevens, because it's been a pretty good year for Fiji. They've just missed out on the series crown in New York, but appear very well placed heading into Hong Kong. How do you rate their season so far?
Oh, it's been excellent, Kyle. It's been really been excellent under the new coach, Osea Kolonisau. New coach, I say. He's been around for a season now. And the team is really gelling and playing to his style, playing to a good rhythm, great defense, which is the cornerstone of their consistency. They finished second on 104 points behind South Africa, 106. But it was a very close final in New York, very close thing. They had the game there for the winning and just dropped the ball, you know, fatigue after some very tough games leading up to that final. But they're looking good for the HSBC World Championships in Hong Kong on April the 17th.
Yeah, they missed out on that league title by 2 points, which is, God, it's agonisingly close. Out of curiosity, like, how important is it to win the league title? Like, will they be disappointed by just losing that, or is that just, you know, a small speed bump on the journey to try and win the overall championship?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting because a lot of people here are a little bit confused by the new format, wondering why all of a sudden there's a championship round after this. You know, there's Fiji, Hong Kong is everything. So I think as long as Fiji comes back over, especially in Hong Kong, and beats whoever there, wins the Hong Kong title, they've won 19 out of the 50 and are the highest number of winning years for a country. So that's what counts for us. And, the next two tournaments up in Europe and France and Spain, I think it is, it's, you know, it's going to count for the World Championships. But for Fiji, it's Hong Kong.
Yeah, interesting. So this concept of a league winner before the championship, is that's relatively new, is it?
Yes, it is. This is the first time it's been played. And, it's an odd one. It's, you know, the first six tournaments, I think it was, that make up this series. And then they've come together with the three to be played in Hong Kong, in Spain on the 29th of May, and then June in France.
Yeah, interesting. And so does the country that won that title, so South Africa in this case, do they get a special sort of separate prize for winning the league or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're the league champions, taking nothing away from them. Australia, of course, the Australian men came third. In the women's section, New Zealand came first, Australia second. That was a real cliffhanger there. I actually got up to grab a cup of coffee thinking Australia had won it, and the Kiwis snatched in the last second of that game. But yeah, New Zealand first in the women's, Australia second, and USA third.
Oh, fantastic. Now, obviously, the Championship Series will kick off in Hong Kong, and that phase will be expanded to 12 teams. So who are the four that have been promoted from the second tier that are going to compete in that?
Well, that second-tier competition is this weekend in Uruguay, and then next weekend in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And in the men's competition, there's Canada, Germany, Kenya, USA, host Uruguay, and Belgium. And so the best four of after the two tournaments will then graduate up to the main competition. And in the women's, that is the HSBC Sevens World Championships. And in the women's, it's Spain, South Africa, Brazil, Kenya, Argentina, and China. It's been coached by Rocky Ali from EG.
Oh, fantastic. And do you think both in the men and women, could any of those wild cards pose a bit of a threat and potentially put together a Cinderella run, do you think?
Yeah, China women look really impressive, very well structured from the one or two tournaments that I've seen. And in the men, of course, there's Canada, who've been there before, Kenya, even USA are trying to make a comeback. So any one of those three, plus Germany, who seem to be playing very, very well in the men's competition as well, could pose some threats to certainly at the bottom of the eight teams, Great Britain, Japan, Great Britain, Spain. They could be find it challenging against these newcomers coming up.
And let's talk about the Fiji women for a second, because they have been slowly improving over the last few years. Were you happy with their season ended up this year?
Yes and no. We've all got a soft spot for our Fijiana girls because there's so few teams in Fiji, and there's so few women's teams, that is, and there's so few tournaments. They're just lacking game time. They really need to, Fiji Rugby Union, and I know they are trying to get more tournaments underway, into schools and play more games for women and girls. They're just lacking game time. They've got the skills, got the talent, those key moments in games where they just seem to commit errors or whatever and lose close games to the top three or four teams.
And just quickly, Carlton, because we are running out of time, but it's been a bit of a rough season so far in the Super Rugby for the Pacific teams. Another tough loss for the Endura on the weekend. What do you think it's been for them this season? Is it just a bit of fatigue? Maybe in their fourth or fifth season now?
So someone pointed out an interesting thing to me, which I hadn't thought of before. When we're playing the New Zealand teams and the Australian teams, they're stacked with All Blacks and Wallabies, week in and week out. You're playing five, six or more reps, New Zealand All Blacks or Wallabies in these teams. Whereas this team, our best Fiji players are playing in the top 14 in Europe and the Guinness Premiership in England. So we're just lacking, the best players from last year have gone, and they've already signed up three of the best players from this year to go at the end of the season. So, sure, it's a great pathway for these individuals, and I hold nothing against that, but we have to bring back two, three, maybe four of our best players in Europe to be competitive. It's a struggle. I've watched all the Ndura games. I was in Bar a couple of weeks ago, and they're good enough, but, to beat the Reds, to beat consistently, be up there, we need some of our better players to come back.
Yeah, and you need that for the viability of the competition as well. It's no good having a professional rugby competition, but the best players who should be representing those teams aren't there. But anyway, it's a conversation for another day. Carlton, thanks so much for joining us today on Pacific Beat.
Great. Thank you, Carl.
That was Carlton Kamea, publisher of the online rugby magazine Tia Vovo, joining us there.